Thursday, September 13th, 2007 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Got my guest again coming up after the break, John Hankey. Lord knows what we're going to talk about today. We've got a little bit behind schedule. Yesterday was supposed to be on 9/11 and why they did it, but we got going a little bit too far on JFK Jr., and then he brought up A. Truat, which I think he's going to talk about today. But I want to make a couple announcements before we go to my guest. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that four men were arrested. They were accused of helping obstruct justice in the case of convicted tax evaders Ed and Elaine Brown, and they were arrested. U.S. Marshal Stephen Monnier said Wednesday. I'm going to read a quick few paragraphs out of an article, then I'm going to make a comment on this. Marshal Monnier said the men were Serino Reno Gonzalez, 30, of Alice, Texas, Danny Riley, 40, of Albany, New York, Jason Gerhard, 22, of Brookhaven, New York, and Robert Wolf, 50, of Randolph, Vermont. The charges range from accessory after the fact to possession and use of a firearm in relation to a crime of violence. I'm just trying to figure out where they got that from, and if I remember correctly, Reno hasn't even been affiliated with the Browns in a few months, so I don't know where they're getting that. Officials believe that the men participated in various efforts to assist the Browns in avoiding justice at their rural home in Plainfield and conspired to impede federal agents. The Browns, who were convicted in January, have refused to turn themselves into authorities, claim the federal income tax is not legitimate. Supporters from across the country have visited them at their home, and although some relationships have come to a bitter end, the Browns have squabbled with bloggers, radio hosts, and several spokesmen and assistants. Interesting. I wonder who they've squabbled with. A website, I don't think it's any alternative hosts, a website about the Browns says they're planning to hold a fundraising event on their property on Saturday. Well, okay, I'm not going to go any farther with this article, but I'm going to give you my take on this, folks. Now, all of us, and all of us that are on the alternative network, we put ourselves on the line to report the truth to you as we see it. We can't be right 100% of the time, but we do the best we can. And in this particular case, and this is my take on it, and by the way, I could be wrong, but it looks to me like the feds have been, and as we all know, they've been in a standoff with the Browns since January, and they're looking for any reason that they could find to get the Browns to peacefully come out. In this case, it is my opinion that these four guys have been arrested. They're probably being threatened, and I'm thinking that they're probably using this as leverage to try to make a deal with the Browns that they would release these four suspects if the Browns were to surrender. That's my take on it. I could be wrong. I don't know. But we'll wait and see what happens. Now, one more thing I want to get into real quick before I bring my guest up is that there's been a lot of rumors flying around in the alternative media, in the Patriot movement, about this stand down across the country tomorrow on the 14th of September, and this the B-52 that was transporting the nuclear weapons from North Dakota down to Barksdale Air Force Base. And there are people out there that are saying there's a distinct possibility, because of these put options and other factors, that we could get nuked or we could have a false flag terror attack tomorrow. This is my take. Again, I could be wrong. But I do not believe in every event that I've ever watched that is unfolded by the New World Order, if you will, or the globalists, or whatever you want to call them. They're not going to announce, or they're not going to give us all the clues beforehand. I believe that what they're doing is they're testing the waters. I believe that they're probably sitting back watching how we react to it and laughing behind closed doors. It is my personal opinion that nothing is going to happen tomorrow. Again, I could be wrong, and I'm not saying not to have your refrigerator stocked and have plenty of water and brass, if you know what I mean. But I'm saying I would not overreact on this issue, because from what I've seen, there's a number of exaggerated reports that have been coming out of late. And I, for one, am not going to overreact. Be vigilant, be cautious, but also be wise. That's my take on that. Now, today, with my guest, John Hanke, we're going to, I believe we're going to get into a little bit on Mr. A. True Ott. Interestingly enough, I was perusing through the internet last night, looking at different news articles, and guess what? I was looking at rinse.com, and surprisingly enough, up pops an article from none other than John Hanke that was published 9/12 of 2007. And I'm going to assume that we may talk a little bit about that today. And if John doesn't want to bring it up, I'm going to bring it up anyway. Now, I'm supposed to have gone to a break by now. I'm not sure what has happened, but whoever the engineer is, are we going to a break or is John on the line? No answer. Who might be my engineer? Hello? Skip it. Skip the break. Okay. All right. Is John on the line? Okay, very good. All right. Okay, so at any rate, he's got an article posted, The Reason JFK Jr. Was Murdered by John Hanke, 9/12/07. And we covered this for the last couple of days, folks, and I really want to move on. But he did mention yesterday towards the end of the show, and he wanted to leave us hanging a little bit on this gentleman, A. True Ott. And I'm looking at this article right now, and when we get him up on the air here, I'm going to have him comment about that, maybe go into a little bit of detail on it, and we'll see what his take on it is. Then we were supposed to get into, and I'm not sure exactly at what point during the show, I'm hoping that we will not get off on other subject content. We should be chatting about 9/11 and the reasons why it happened. Now, another announcement I want to make, that the amount of information that John had to share with us, we're not going to be able to get through it all this week. Obviously, those of you who have been into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, you can take a look at the guest list and see the schedule. I've got him up all week. And next week, I've got... on Monday, I have Loris Tompkins coming up first hour, I believe, and then Ted Pike second hour. And then I believe I'm going to have John up. I'm going to verify that with this with him so he can continue out with this on Wednesday. So with that, I believe I got my guest up. John, are you with me?
I think I am.
How are you today, sir?
I'm terrific. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was perusing, I was telling my listening audience, I was perusing through the internet last night looking at news articles. I ran across rinse.com, and guess who popped up? You did.
True Ott.
Yes. And we had just ended the show yesterday. We were speaking about True Ott. Yeah. And I guess we're going to continue today on that subject content, and then hopefully at some point get into 9/11 and why they did it, right?
Yeah, I think we might try to tie 9/11 in as much as we can. And what I also really hope to do was spend some time destroying E. Howard Hunt's confession and discussing the best latest book that's out on the subject, which is called Brothers, written by a guy named David Talbot. He conducted at least 100 interviews and maybe more of close associates of Robert Kennedy, telling the story of the relationship between John and Robert, and also going into lots of detail of the dramas that they went through. And into the entire end of the book focuses very much on the assassination. So, you know, it all ties in, I think.
All right. Well, let's get started then. You were on the subject of True Ott yesterday, and I'll let you start running with it, and we'll see where we go.
Well, I never start that way. I was going to tease people a little bit more, or at least...
Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I always like to review, you know, what did we do, and bring people up to speed of where we were yesterday, so that, you know, we're all more or less on the same page.
All right, fine.
And you know, my recurring theme throughout for the entire week that I've been on has been this point that Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush's political career began the instant that Kennedy was murdered, that he walked away from Dealey Plaza and began working on his run for the Senate, and that his political career was charmed. That is, and what I say in the DVD is that he was a made man. He couldn't screw up often enough or badly enough for them not to pick him up and dust him off and set him right back on the top of the heap until they shoved him down Reagan's throat, forced Reagan to accept him as the vice presidential candidate. And 2 months into Reagan's term as president, they tried to kill him. Right? I mean, there, how did Hinckley penetrate Reagan's defenses? That's always right. You try getting within 5 feet of George Bush sometime and see what happens to you. But anyway, I mean, see how thoroughly you have to get searched before something like that's allowed to happen. Anyhow, and then yesterday I tried to tie it in, and I, you know, the evidence is much more thin in the murder of John Kennedy Jr. than it is in John Kennedy Sr. for lots of obvious reasons. There haven't been thousands of people investigating it. They didn't assign thousands of FBI agents. They didn't have 24 volumes of Warren reports. So and millions of CIA documents. So the evidence is considerably more thin, and the evidence implicating George Bush Sr. is enough, I think, very clearly to get an indictment. It's really very, very powerful. The evidence connecting George Bush Jr. is simply that, first of all, his father killed John Kennedy Jr.'s father, that was his political ticket. Secondly, that George Bush Jr.'s political ticket got punched at that time. We don't know what it was that made him the golden boy in 1999 that made the Republican Party major donors, the people, you know, with the millions and millions of dollars to push around, why they sided with George Bush instead of John McCain, but they did. I mean, that is observable, and the final thing that is observable is that George Bush Jr. is officially missing on the weekend that John Kennedy Jr.'s plane went down. That is to say that the people in the media ran to the Bush camp and said, "We want to hear what a president's son has to say about the death of another president's son." That was their question. And Karen Hughes, the head of the campaign, said, "I don't know where he is, and I don't know when he will be back." And that is her official position. Further, the Sacramento Bee and the local paper in Bohemian Grove both reported that Bush was present at the Bohemian Grove, and Karen Hughes called the Sacramento Bee and demanded a retraction, and the Sacramento Bee said, "Well, we'll retract if you tell us where he was," and she declined to tell them where he was. So he is officially absent during the weekend that John Kennedy Jr. died, and I think that if the FBI, ha 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 ha, could be inspired to say, "Well, look, this is enough. We're going to question him and call him in and say, look, where were you?" Or if any grand jury were inspired enough to call Bush in and say, "You know, we just have a very, very simple question for you. Where were you? And whatever you do, please lie to us so we can put you in jail for that and then bargain with you for your freedom with the truth. After you lie to us, and, you know, whatever he says, I'm sure will be very, very easily proved to be a lie." Anyhow, so I wanted to set that up just as the background for where we are going. And then what I'd like to launch into is that if John Kennedy Sr. were alive today, and suppose he were 40 and running for president, they wouldn't, I don't think this afternoon, probably be using bullets against him. They would be using character assassination against him. And suppose you're a decent guy and you run for office. They are going to be, you know, knocking themselves out, creating evidence in the assassination of your character. And I just wanted to try to get the listening audience to be aware of the fact that you have to be very, 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 very careful about the stuff that you read. For example, and I thought we, you know, did a great job this week. Tom Floco is, you know, a great guy and does great work, and probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with his website. Anyhow, Floco was taken in by two FBI agents who said that they had, you know, and gave him a report that they claimed was an official FBI report saying that there were bombs on the plane. And, you know, we've run through at least 8 or 9 solid pieces of evidence to show that there couldn't have been a bomb on that plane, that there was some other means by which that plane was taken down. Sherman Skolnick, who's another important investigator and unfortunately dead now, but at the time, Skolnick was taken in by two FBI agents. It was Floco who was taken in by a guy claiming to be CIA. And, you know, these are intelligent guys, they're hardworking, and they were taken in. So the point is that the water is full of sharks. You have to be very, very careful. And there are the common the common line on John Kennedy Jr., and we heard it from at least one caller, and I believe it was more than two, with the line that, oh, John was going to run for Senate. Oh, John was going to run for Senate. He was going to run for Senate. And then that's turned around and used to try to point a finger at Hillary Clinton. And I don't want to be put in the position of defending Hillary Clinton, but I do want to say that with all of my extensive research of this, I have never found a shred of evidence to suggest that John was going to run for Senate. There's no question. They were doing polls at the time, and he would have killed anybody. He was 20 points ahead of any candidate that they could suggest that might possibly have run against him. So there's no question that he was a viable candidate, but the words out of John's mouth were that running for political office is like going to war, and when you do, you better be ready. And he saw what the lack of preparation had done to the lives and families of his closest and dearest relatives, including Edward Kennedy, but also Robert Kennedy Sr., or I'm sorry, it's Joseph Kennedy. Joseph Kennedy, the oldest of Robert Kennedy's sons, wasn't ready, and he couldn't take the heat, and, well, he got beat up, and his personal life went to hell. And so John Kennedy was married. He was in counseling. He and his wife had good, I'm sure, healthy fights. They, I think, were struggling over the issue of when and to have children. I suspect that that was the bone of contention in his marriage. But in any case, when he was interviewed, he said that he was very happy with what he was doing at George Magazine. He thought it was very, very important work that he was doing at George Magazine, and that when he decided he was going to run for office, he would let everybody know, but that he had decided that he wasn't going to run in the immediate future, and that he was going to be happy doing the work at George Magazine. And I believe that the stories that he was going to run are disinformation, and I believe that they're aimed at pointing the blame away from Hillary Clinton. Now, when we get to Ott, we're going to take up Ott in the context of sharks in the water. And I don't know whether Ott is a shark. I don't know, and I think I've had some very, very friendly conversations, and I have nothing against him. I have nothing that I can point to that shows him to be incredible, uncredible, except for the story that he tells, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want to say a couple of other things about these sharks that are in the water. In this book, Brothers, you get to read, and the author, Talbot, does not point you in this direction. This is not his intention in writing the book, but he tells you, and there it is, that Robert Kennedy's point man on the assassination, right? Kennedy was the attorney general. He had been a prosecutor for years before he came to the White House, and you know he was an experienced and very, very talented prosecutor. And his point man in his most important prosecution, which was of Jimmy Hoffa, was a guy named Sheridan, Walter Sheridan. And the book says, and I have no reason to doubt it, that Walter Sheridan was Kennedy's point man on the investigation of his brother's assassination. And Walter Sheridan went down to Dallas and called Bobby and said it was a lone assassin, it was a lone nut, and it was Lee Harvey Oswald. And when Jim Garrison, the Dallas district attorney, broke the story that he was planning to bring a case against Clay Shaw for the assassination of John Kennedy, Kennedy sent Walter Sheridan down there, and Sheridan told Kennedy that Garrison is full of crap, that there's nothing to this, it's just, you know, it's garbage, it's the worst sort of thing, blah, 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 blah. And Sheridan eventually left working for Bobby Kennedy and went to work for NBC, where he worked with the CIA to put together a program trying to destroy Garrison, which reportedly was very effective in terms of embarrassing Garrison and discrediting him in the eyes of all of the poor fools who watched the program and didn't know any better. Sheridan was CIA. That is to say, let me put it this way. Sheridan, before he went to work for Robert Kennedy, immediately before he went to work for Robert Kennedy, applied to the CIA. He got a security clearance from the CIA, which I believe means that he was hired, but he didn't. He then went to work for the NSA, the National Security Agency. Well, I believe that he was a CIA infiltrator of the National Security Agency. And
okay,
then,
Got to stop you. Got
sure.
5 seconds.
Then he went
to work
for Robert
Kennedy.
We'll be
back. Hold that thought. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening with John Hankey, my guest. Be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Short segment coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to give out my guest website. It's www.bushkilledjfk.com. Go in there, take a look around, buy a video. Mine is www.theamericanawakening.org. You can go in there and watch John's videos for free, but buy some. Pass them out to your friends, folks. Invite them over for lunch and or dinner or barbecue and let them take a look. Okay, getting back to what we were talking about, John, go ahead. Sheridan, the CIA.
Well, let me jump on what you said. Buy a video and make hundreds of copies of it and pass them out to everybody that you know. I think it's worth taking a break to say it, that I believe you said, and it's the case with me, that we've sold our houses and we're living on the proceeds in order to be able to devote ourselves to this crisis that we're living in at the moment, and trying to, you know, devote ourselves to promoting the truth as the best solution to the really critical times that we're in. And people can support that in two ways at least, and one of them is by buying a video or buying something from your website, and the other is to go ahead and make copies of it at your own expense. And but I mean, look at the crisis that we're facing and decide what sort of a commitment you can make to it, and then make some, you have to make some kind of a commitment. I mean, if you have children, you have to invest in their future anyway. So this guy Walter Sheridan was Bobby's closest advisor, and he was a CIA, I mean, he's totally CIA connected. I believe he's very, very clearly a CIA plant, and he was Bobby's main earpiece. Well, Bobby finally woke up to it, and when Ferry, David Ferry, was murdered, he was Garrison's main witness. Kennedy did not ask Walter Sheridan to look into it, and Kennedy did not call the coroner at his office and ask him. He called the coroner at his home and asked him whether he thought David Ferry had been murdered or not. So Bobby Kennedy started to wake up very, 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 very late in his career to the fact that he was surrounded by sharks. And I want to say that I believe that John Kerry is an operative. I think that he works for the same people that George Bush do. I think that Jesse Jackson is an operative, and that he works for the same people that George Bush do. And I believe that he's implicated in the murders of Martin Luther King and Cesar Chavez. I think that Michael Moore is an operative, and anybody who wants to can call in and ask me about that. Seymour Hersh, who is so well-respected, he's a writer for the New Yorker magazine, and he broke the Abu Ghraib story, he broke the My Lai story, and I believe that he's an operative. Bernstein, what's his first name? I don't remember. The Woodward and Bernstein, right, are the guys who broke the Watergate story, and Bernstein wrote that there
was
are...
Was it Leonard
four...
Bernstein?
I'm sorry?
Was it Leonard Bernstein?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay,
anyway,
go ahead.
Anyway, Bernstein wrote that there are 400 CIA agents working in the media as reporters and news people, right, on the television, that we just don't know about. But, you know, these guys are towing the line and slipping us the poison pills that the CIA hands to them to give to us. And Bernstein is the guy who worked with Woodward. Well, I think that the evidence is very clear also that Woodward, who broke the Watergate story, and, you know, we could spend 2 hours on Watergate and how Ehrlichman thinks that Watergate was a CIA operation to bring down Nixon. We are not going to go there, but the point is that people have to be very, very careful. And so we're going to start on Hunt, and we'll probably have to take a break. But I think, and I think it's embarrassing that... Alex Jones, bless him. I mean, the stuff that Alex Jones on 9/11 is just absolutely fabulous. I've never seen anybody more brilliant when a television camera is put in his face and he's got 20 seconds to make his case. But on his website, he takes E. Howard Hunt's deathbed testimony seriously. And in his deathbed testimony, Hunt does two things that are, I think, very, very clearly lies. And one of them is that he says that President Johnson, who was only vice president at the time, that Vice President Johnson was behind the Kennedy assassination. And the other thing is that he doesn't mention George H.W. Bush. And I think that looking at those two closely, which we will between now and the break and then a little bit afterwards, you can see that Hunt is lying to us from the grave. So that's a pretty talented liar, a guy who will, with his dying breath, give you a lie. That's a guy who's committed to the cause of the passing of untruth. E. Howard Hunt says in the trial that he was involving the Kennedy assassination, he was on the stand, and he said that he admitted to the fact that he went into the National Archives. I don't think he had to break in because I think he was working out of the White House, Nixon's White House, and he had access, and he tried to plant forgeries, forged memos with Kennedy's signature, forged signature on them, showing falsely that Kennedy had approved the assassination of President Diem of South Vietnam. They wanted to put blood on Kennedy's hands. They wanted to make Kennedy appear to be a murderer, so that his murder would seem to be justice. That, you know, here's a guy who's authorizing the murder of other foreign dignitaries, so maybe it's justice that he should fall the same way. Well, it's not true. I mean, there isn't a shred of evidence anyplace else in any of the records to suggest that Kennedy approved the CIA's management of the murder of President Diem. The CIA did it. They did it without Kennedy's authorization. Well, they killed John Kennedy, without Kennedy's authorization as well. The point is that Hunt's a liar, and since we haven't heard the music yet, let's move on into it.
Got about a minute. Go ahead.
Well, sure. No, it's not a problem. Hunt has no connections. I'm sorry, Hunt. Johnson has no connections to the CIA or the intelligence community anywhere in his career, really, even as president. There's nothing demonstrable showing that he has any kind of a special relationship with the CIA, and in fact, he was highly critical. And we'll come back to, there's the music, we'll come back to look at the connections between Hunt and Bush to show what a flagrant lie his confession must be if he has left out the name of George Herbert Walker Bush in connection to the Kennedy assassination.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back in three. Long segment coming up. So, John, you can take a breath. Be back in 3 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. Stick with us. We got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. Mike Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona with my guest John Hankey, and let's get back into it. John, what are we going into? The Hunt-Bush connection, right?
Yes. And we're still pounding on this point that there are sharks in the water, that you can't, just because somebody is on Alex Jones's website and treated with credibility, you can't necessarily accept that as being credible. You got to do your homework. You have to ask the right questions, right? You have to look for inconsistencies, and when you find them, you have to pursue them hot and heavy.
Let me insert one thing here, okay?
Sure.
And I speak for all talk show hosts. You know, I have the ultimate amount of respect for Alex Jones. He's one of two people, John Stadtmiller being the other one, and a little bit of Jim Fetzer, that woke me up. So I have the ultimate respect for, and always will have, for Alex Jones, okay? Now, none of us talk show hosts get it right 100% of the time.
Certainly, absolutely.
Yeah, and when, so we're so busy, you know, and we've got so much information being, you know, coming at us from all angles here that it's impossible to get it right. So I hope that, you know, the audience gives us, all of us, a little bit of leeway here. You know, we try our best, and that's all we can do. So at any rate, go ahead.
But I'm saying all of this in preparation to introduce Ott and to buy myself some leeway and to say, I don't know whether Ott is not just a very, 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 very highly skilled shark with enormous resources so that he can create this whole web of corroborating evidence for himself and his story, and it's all false, that could be the case, and it wouldn't be the first time. And, you know, smarter people than me have been fooled. So I'm saying this stuff not as a criticism of Alex Jones by any means, but or anybody else who's made a mistake in their lives, but just to let the audience know that you have to be cautious, and you have to be cautious about what I'm going to say when we get to Odd in 2 minutes. Anyway, I just wanted to quickly run down the fact that E. Howard Hunt, in his deathbed confession, fails to mention George Herbert Walker Bush, but when he was on the stand, he admitted that he worked out of the same office as Prescott Bush did. That is to say, he admitted that he worked out of the offices of Averell Harriman, that he reported directly to Averell Harriman as Prescott did at exactly the same time.
Was this when he was being sued by Spotlight Magazine?
That he said this on the stand, that's correct.
Okay, yeah, okay, go ahead.
But the situation was immediately after World War II, at the end of World War II, when Harriman no doubt was in Europe helping to rescue all of the perpetrators of the Holocaust, which we'll get into tomorrow. Virtually every single person in high-level responsibility for the Holocaust escaped. But let's go on. It's also demonstrable. You can prove that, you know, with documents and words from their own lips, that Hunt was supervised by George Herbert Walker Bush at the Bay of Pigs. There can't be any doubt about the fact that that Bush supervised Hunt at the Bay of Pigs. You have the memo written by J. Edgar Hoover that shows that there it is in black and white, saying that George Herbert Walker Bush was in the CIA and supervising the misguided anti-Castro Cubans, of whom Hunt was admittedly one. And this is at the time of the Kennedy assassination. So at the time of the Kennedy assassination, no, in black and white from J. Edgar Hoover, the chief law enforcement officer of the country, is the evidence that Bush was supervising Hunt at that time. Hunt was in Nixon's White House during Watergate, and when the Watergate scandal broke, Ehrlichman and Haldeman and any number of other people wrote about the fact that they didn't understand how Hunt had gotten an office in the White House, who it was who brought him in. Nobody could understand that, and you can read these things in these people's books, but there were two people in the White House who had background in CIA operations. Only two, and one of them was E. Howard Hunt, and the other one was George Bush, who had supervised him, as we have seen on at least two separate occasions. Johnson, on the other hand, had no CIA contacts. The CIA is an Eastern establishment, Northeastern establishment operation, and Johnson had contacts in Texas. And Johnson was a school teacher before he got started, so half of him. You know, he's also a Texas politician, which I think says that he was all, you know, he had to be able to get down in the dirt and the mud and the slime and the sleaze and roll around with the best of them, and he did. And he, of course, was friends with Murchison and the rest of the Texas oil men, but who do you suppose was closer to the Texas oil men who were minor participants in the assassination, Who was closer to them? George Herbert Walker Bush, who was an oil man, a Texas oil man, and all of them had his phone number in their Rolodexes, and he had theirs. Or Lyndon Johnson, who was ostensibly their enemy, since he represented the more friendly to the working man part of the political movement in Texas, Bush represented the friendly to the billionaires political movement. Anyhow, having said that, let's get into Truott and what Truott has to say. I mentioned yesterday that Ott had been a very, very devout Mormon, and he sent me an email yesterday that has some killer stuff in it. But anyway,
well, go ahead and give it to us.
Not right now. We'll get to it.
All right.
Right.
Let's get him up on a show.
You write it down, and we'll put it on the list. Yeah, I'm sure that he would be delighted to be on your show.
Oh, I'd love to do it. Yeah,
I'd be delighted to be on with him. Anyhow.
Well, you're going to.
Very good.
I've already elected you, John. Go ahead.
All right. So Ott was a devout Mormon and well-connected, and he became, you know, went to college and came out and became a financial advisor to these powerful people. And one of them put this file into his hands and said, you know, I don't know what to do with this, but if I get killed for having it, you now have a copy and you'll send it to this person and this person whose address I've given you, so that, you know, if I get cornered and they say they're going to kill me, I can say, better not. Anyway, and so that's how Ott says he came into possession of this file. somebody remind me, somebody please ask me when I'm done, how it is that the Mormons, well, why would anybody think that the Mormons would be in the possession of this file? It's a very interesting question. Anyhow, Ott says that he was involved in this this environmental movement, and they challenged this giant pork conglomerate who wanted to build a giant pork farm in their little Cedar Hills, the little city of Cedar Hills, and pollute their groundwater, and they put together a movement, and they stopped them. And George Magazine wanted to cover the story, and the editor from George Magazine flew out and interviewed and took pictures, and they were getting ready did everything they needed to do in preparation for writing the story, and then it was time to leave, and they're having a goodbye dinner, and Ott is sitting across the table from, I believe it's Richard Blow, the editor of the magazine, and they're having a friendly, and for the first time, Blow passes a copy of George Magazine over to Ott, and Ott looks at it, and he turns the first page, and there's a picture of John Kennedy Jr., editor-in-chief, little picture, and then below the editorial that began every issue of George Magazine, right? Every issue began with an editorial from John Kennedy Jr. And Ott says, oh, John Kennedy Jr. is the editor of this magazine. And Blow says, yeah. And Ott says, you ever heard of the Gemstone File? And apparently Blow had heard of the Gemstone File in his discussions. Well, Ott asked him, does Kennedy agree with the Warren Commission? And Blow said no. And, you know, the little bits and pieces are coming to Ott that, hey, you know, this is kismet, right? This is destiny. You have been sent here, and they have been sent here, and here it is. Have you ever heard of the Gemstone File? And Blow says, yes, I have. What do you know about it? And Ott tells him. And what he tells him is that this file contains, let me take a deep breath, canceled checks. Written on the letterhead, the check stubs of Zapata Offshore Oil, which is George Bush's oil company, signed by George Bush, written to E. Howard Hunt, and written at the time of the assassination, so that Hunt was on Bush's payroll at the time of the assassination. There's memos in the file that explain what this other documentation means and that explain Bush's participation in the assassination. They mentioned several other people, and there are also lists of people who need to be eliminated and who were eliminated, right? There were, I don't know how many hundred of the key critical witnesses in the Kennedy assassination that were murdered. Lee Bowers, the guy in the railroad yard who saw the people at the grassy knoll who fired the shots, drove into a cement piling while he was going down the road on a clear, sunny day. With no mechanical defects, and on and on and on like that. Anyway, I'm going to read this to you in a second. Ott says, calls over the waitress and says, put this stuff in doggy bags, we're getting out of here. And then tells Ott, come on, let's go, we're going to go look at the file. And they go and they get the file, and Ott stays up all night reading it. And in the morning, John Kennedy Jr. calls Ott and says, I'll pay you for it. And Ott says, no, 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 it's blood money, and you're intended to have it. You were supposed to have it, and you're going to have it. And so Blow flies the file to New York, and a couple of months later, on July 5th, John Kennedy Jr. calls Ott and says, according to Ott, that they are going to get together a grand jury, that George Magazine is going to publish the contents of the Gemstone Files, that he has spent upwards of six figures corroborating the evidence that's in the Gemstone File, proving that it's real and not forgeries, and proving that, right, the substance of it. And I'll read. I can say to you, this is Kennedy speaking, without hesitation, that its contents are indeed factual. As a matter of fact, because of this file, a federal grand jury will be convening within the next few weeks. It is my opinion, as well as my attorney's, that this federal grand jury will pass down an indictment against George Herbert Walker Bush for conspiracy to commit murder against my father, and will also indict others as the evidence unfolds. If George W. thinks he can run for dog catcher after this grand jury convenes and his father is indicted, he is sorely mistaken. Unquote. This is Ott speaking. I was thrilled, yet deeply saddened by John's disclosures to me. I asked him how he felt about what it was he was about to do. Did he understand that it would shake American politics, especially the Republican Party, to its very foundation? He replied, yes, I do realize the gravity of the story and my accusations, but the guilty must be brought to justice. I pressed, but Mr. Kennedy, how do you feel? The phone went silent for a minute or two. Then John replied, "I feel like a mighty weight has been lifted from my shoulders. For the first time in my life, I feel empowered. I feel my Father's Spirit beside me on this. And finally, I can exorcise a few demons from my life." He was definitely emotional and very close to tears. I knew that I was. I was part of American history. I had helped a brother search for truth. I warned him to be careful, that such actions were potentially very dangerous. He agreed and said that he was taking every precaution. Then in a quiet voice, he asked me for my banking information. He wished to wire $50,000 to my account. I told him, "Thanks, but no thanks. Give it to charity," I said. "I don't think it's right to accept money for such terrible information. I'm totally satisfied knowing that the file went to the very person that needed it the very most. Above all, John, please be careful." John Kennedy thanked me profusely, and he said that he wished there were more people in America like Truott. He said that someday he would return the favor. I like that. It was good to have made a friend such as John Kennedy. A little over 2 weeks later, on July 16th, 1999, John Kennedy Jr., along with his wife and her sister, were killed in a plane crash en route to Hyannisport for a family wedding. My new friend was gone, and the guilty involved in both murders has still not been punished. I know the truth, however. There is no doubt whatsoever why John was killed. It was not an accident.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, no kidding. And, when I relayed the substance of that to my wife over the phone, she said, "This guy's pulling your leg." But when I read that to her or handed it to her to read, that's a powerful, right? It has the ring of truth, as the bullshit artists at the university say. It has real verisimilitude. Anyway. But I don't know whether to believe it. You know, is this a shark or is this the truth? I can't find anybody to say a bad word about Truott. Find anybody to say a bad word about Truott.
Okay. No, well, let me insert something here,
sure.
John. Now, the Gemstone Files, I'm reading this. I just pulled it up on Google, and it says 350 to 1,000 handwritten pages by Bruce Porter Roberts. And you had mentioned canceled checks from Bush to E. Howard Hunt. What other sort of incriminating information was in those files?
He says that it named – well, there were these memos, right? Now, let me say something about the Gemstone file first. People will remember – I'm sorry. If you Google Gemstone file, you'll find 98,000 articles saying that the Gemstone files are a bunch of crap, that it's a fraud and a fake. And
I know.
Forgery.
I'm reading one right now.
Yeah, and
but,
a forgery.
But I take that with a grain of salt. Okay,
well,
so
No. Listen, I'm sure that that's true. You see – everybody will recall, I think, that when the last time Bush was running for president, this letter surfaced from his Air National Guard supervisor. Was it in South Carolina? I forget which state it was at this point. But he had left Texas on a leave and was supposed to be fulfilling his duties with the Air National Guard in, I believe, South Carolina. And his supervisor, who I believe was a general in the Air National Guard, wrote a letter complaining about the fact that Bush was never here and that he was AWOL. And so this letter surfaced, and CBS, you know, made a big deal out of it. And then, lo and behold, I'm so surprised, I'm so shocked, Dan Rather made a big deal out of it. It was proved to be a forgery. I mean, it had obvious forgery, right? It was produced by a computer word processor. It was clear that it had not been produced by a typewriter, that the fonts were computer fonts and not typewriter fonts. And were just obvious stuff, right? I mean, you and I are neither of us geniuses, but we can figure out that if we're going to do a forgery, we're going to find a typewriter somewhere and type it up. They didn't bother to do that. However, and I hope people are focusing on this, part of the most devastating evidence against this thing showing it to be a forgery was the testimony or the statements in the press by the general secretary. The general was dead, but the secretary was alive, and she had seen it and looked at it and had said, yes, this is a forgery. The general would never have said something this way. He would never have used that expression. He would have used this one instead. However, she says, and I don't know how this didn't get to be the headline, however, she says, the contents of the letter are authentic. So I would suggest that what transpired is that people in the Bush camp set this up. They got their hands on the authentic letter. They forged it. making sure to put in stuff that would be obviously detectable by, you know, an idiot like you or me would be able to find these obvious evidences of forgery. And so then we put out the forged one, and then we create this great whoop and stink about it being a forgery in order to divert attention away from the fact that the contents of the letter are, in fact, authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and, you know, that I believe that the Articles of Zion are similar. You can't persuade me that the founders of the Zionist movement didn't have a collection of, you write a founding constitution, that they didn't have an Articles of Incorporation. Of course they did. I mean, it just seems obvious that they would have had, and apparently it was scandalous enough in the form that it was originally concocted, and not very surprisingly, and we don't need to go there right now, but in order to destroy the importance of any of that, they concocted a bunch of forgeries which were just outrageous and clearly viciously anti-Semitic and generally anti-Semitic and provocative, and they put those out. And so that the Gemstone Files is in a similar situation. There are many, many, an infinite number of forgeries that are obvious forgeries, and the real thing are in a few hands.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back in 3 with my guest, John Hanke. Stick with us. We got more, folks. A lot of great stuff here. Be right back.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour, and we're back on the assassination syndrome again. Go ahead, John. Continue.
Isn't that where we wanted to be? I'm not.
Well, I don't know. I was looking at the subject content on our, you know, what we had, and we're supposed to be on 9/11 and the reasons for it. But that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm happy to jump off. My wife is printing the letter I got from the email I got from Truat last night that mentions this bombshell. But let me quickly read you what it also says in the much, much longer memo that he sent me like 2 months ago, describing the Gemstone files. It was file number 5 of a group of 7 files called the Gemstone files. I don't know what the other 6 files contained, but this one was a literal buster. It was the full story of the CIA planned and executed contract hit of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, President of the United States. It was full of very complete specifics, including such things as photostats of canceled checks, travel vouchers, orders on CIA letterhead, personal list of participants, disposition of witnesses and evidence, etc. The problem was I recognized the names of many of the key men who participated in the assassination, as well as the massive cover-up that followed. These were not all Jewish organized crime bosses. Some of them were linked to my LDS church, that is the Mormon church, authorities, and some were nationally prominent politicians in my beloved Republican Party. The file was extremely damning towards George H.W. Bush, who in 1963 was the CIA head in Dallas. The obvious involvement of the FBI and Dallas PD and their subsequent squelching of the information as outlined in the file made me physically sick. There was no person in the federal law, in federal law enforcement that I could trust with this information, that is, if it was indeed legitimate. Anyway, on and on. There was a question that I said that somebody should ask me. Did you happen to make a note of it?
I sure did. Just a second.
Okay.
The possession of the Mormon file.
Say it again? Why would the Mormons be in possession of this file? Is that the question?
Right.
And, I mean, I can't really answer the question except to point out in amazing contacts, and I don't know when they begin, and I don't know where I surely don't know where they end, the contacts between the Mormons and the Bush administration. But the most obvious one that people should have paid attention to is that the guy who's now leading in Iowa and ahead in the polls in New Hampshire is a guy named Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon. And this is according to the LA Times yesterday, that he's well ahead in the polls in both of those states.
Well,
let me
ask you this question.
Carolina.
But which polls are you looking at? Because the polls that I'm looking at, and of course the mainstream media tries to downplay it, but, you know, in MSNBC polls, the Zogby polls and so forth, I mean, I see Ron Paul just cleaning everybody's clock here. But, of course, the mainstream media doesn't report that.
Of course
and they
not.
Keep trying. So you're looking at, what polls are you looking at?
This is from the Los Angeles Times yesterday. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
that's fine. That explains it. Go ahead.
Yeah, certainly. No, I mean, even in the mainstream media, you occasionally get this blip that after the debates, Ron Paul always scores huge. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean anything. And let's look at this other stuff over here. Anyway, Karl Rove is a Mormon. That is, or certainly he graduated from high school in Salt Lake City. And we'll come back in a moment and discuss the connections between the Bush administration.
Well, I thought all these guys were Jewish. I see pictures of them at the Wailing Wall with their yarmulkes on the back of their head, you know.
Karl Rove?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen a picture of Karl Rove, but I've seen Bill Clinton, George Bush, and, I mean, all of these guys claim to be Jewish, or at least they, you know, I don't know. We'll be back in two. Let me think about it. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, John Hanke. See you for the second hour coming up. Stick with us. We got more, folks, if you can believe it. My mind's already on overload. Be right back.
It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could.
It's true.